Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That's the way you play the game, right?
You got it.
Fly ball, shallow right. This is going to do it. Chris Bryant will make the catch, and the Cubs win the ball game 12-3.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, the thing about the bullpen throwing so well, and when you use them, you also have to give days off. There were two guys, the important guys, that were down today, and you need that performance from Kyle again was huge to save arms, to give guys rest, to stay off. Still another, you know, we only had to use one real bench player today. Teeny came in there late for a pinch hit. But, you know, in moments like that and performances like that, it just really helps the group as a whole to recover when you have a lot of other things going on.
That was David Ross, Cubs manager, talking about how it's great when your ace doesn't suck. And before that, Pat Hughes calling the last out of the Cubs 12-3 victory over their evil, dreaded rival Cardinals. First game of a weekend series, game two tonight. And that was heard and will be heard right here on The Score. That's the radio station you're listening to, WSCR 670 AM. This is Saturday Suckage. We're broadcasting from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. And there was a nice little game, nice little one-run game. It was close. It was that kind of battle you expect between two teams, even in a sucky division, but at least rivals. And then all of a sudden, the eighth inning happened. That was a thing. That was all of a sudden, the Cubs looked, oh my God. Look, the Cardinals suck. Their bullpen sucks. They're bad at the end. The Cardinals suck. Yadi sucks. Arenado sucks. The Cardinals, yay! The Cardinals suck. And that's kind of what it felt like watching that.
Yeah, and it was starting to turn into, in the Cardinals' seventh inning, Cubs are up 4-2, and Anthony Rizzo makes a bad error. Like, one you don't expect him to make. Just a ground ball to Rizzo. He doesn't transfer it from glove to hand to make the little flip to Kyle Hendricks. And it's just straight up error. So then right after that, it's like, now here comes David Ross. This with two outs, mind you. He takes out Kyle Hendricks because clearly he had planned to, okay, this is going to be it no matter what. Pulls out Kyle Hendricks. Tommy Nance comes in. He singles in a run. It's 4-3, and you're like, that's the way I thought the game was going. Like, this is the Rizzo error game. And then, yeah, eighth inning, great things happen. Magical contact man Eric Sogard with the RBI hit to open the floodgates. KB walks with the bases loaded, and the Cardinals imploded. They imploded.
The Kyle Hendricks,
Arenado, by the way.
Arenado, yeah. Well, we'll get to him in just a moment. But
Yeah.
Kyle Hendricks, when your ace is your ace, he's back to being your ace. And this is what you were waiting for. What you, if you're a Cub fan, you wanted to exhale, because this was the first time he'd put together back-to-back consecutive quality starts. He gave up 100 run over 6 2/3 innings, and it was even better the last time out. So he'd done that, and now you have reason to think, okay, you can exhale and say, I think at least this guy knows where he's going. It's still a shame we have Zach Davies instead of Yu Darvish. And at this early stage, there's like two full wins between them, between what they're doing. And that's even with Davies not sucking like he did early in the season. But at least the Hendricks start was, if you're a Cub fan, don't you think this is like, oh my God, at least one of them. We can cover one of them. And that's what David Ross sounded like last night.
Yes. I mean, he's still really the only guy who you can project as dependable as a starting pitcher, a starting pitcher in maybe the postseason. Other than that, there's nobody. There's nobody. I mean, it's not Jake Arrieta. It's not Zach Davies. It's not the guy that's pitching today, Edward Alzolay. All of these guys, like, can be good at times, but there is nobody that you could look at except for Kyle Hendricks to say, yeah, he's your best pitcher, and we can depend on him doing what he does every single game. And hopefully he's gotten back into that mode. Every year, Kyle Hendricks does hit a spot where he struggles, and usually he finds something in his mechanics, in his delivery. And if you ask David Ross, it's always fastball command with anybody, by the way. I don't know if he actually means that. That's just his go-to answer. Well, why is this guy better? Fastball command. Why is this guy better? Fastball command. Why is he better? Not fastball command. It's always fastball command. It's because it's like a generic, it's a generic answer that you can't argue with. You know what I mean? Like, so you can't be like, oh, what are you talking? No. It's like a back injury. Oh, he's got a back injury. Really? Okay. But, yeah, I mean, Hendricks has to be good, or you got nothing. Because I still, like, and I said it before the season started, this season it has been about the fact that they traded Yu Darvish, their best pitcher, which has left you with a roster full of guys who, if the Cubs were to make the playoffs somehow, how exactly do you line up a starting rotation of playoff pitchers with that group? You don't.
Well, with Kyle Hendricks, and then hope for 3 days of rain, and then Kyle Hendricks. Yeah, that's the way you're going to have to do it.
Isn't that, or what, can Craig Kimbrell become like a, can you make him be your what do you call it, when the guy pitches just two innings?
The
what
opener.
Do we call that? It's not a starter. It's your
opener.
The opener.
The opener.
I was having trouble. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe Craig Kimbrell could be your opener one day.
Well, he's actually looked like a closer recently. I wouldn't want to mess with that. But so
right.
The game starts yesterday.
Right.
Jock Peterson homers. First fans of the stands. Cubs, Cardinals, we haven't seen. And Jock Peterson goes yard. So he came back on March 4th. From an injured list, tendonitis in his left wrist, and he has not sucked. He is slashing, are you sitting down, 396, 433, 528 in 2 weeks, 14 games. So the first 16 games of the year, apparently injured and sucking, 137, 262, 235. He was the poster child for Saturday suckage. So that's the guy that the Cubs got. Meanwhile, the guy the Cardinals got, the one that made them division favorites, Nolan Arenado, he went 0-for-3 and made two errors, closing in on his platinum glove, his whatever it is. And it prompted me, I know it's only one game, and I know it's May, but I had some fun doing this, because Jock Peterson is that kind of guy who just sort of bumps through the regular season, and then the playoffs come, and he's a different guy. Nolan Arenado is the guy.
It's October.
Yeah, he is Jocktober, right. And Nolan Arenado puts the no in postseason. He's been in the postseason, but he has sucked in the postseason. He has been
that guy.
Well, that guy shrinks in the moment. He's been in the postseason for three different series. He's batting 190. That doesn't matter, you
Wow.
say. You just need to get on base. Okay, his OBP is 174. He's slugging 333. He has one home run, seven strikeouts, no walks.
Wait. So he's hitting 190 with an OBP of 170?
I may have copied this wrong.
That doesn't sound... How do you have a lower OBP than your average? Maybe it's possible, but I've just never seen it before.
All right, I'm going to have to go back and do
I'll double check this.
Because Nolan Arenado is the worst baseball player of all time.
No, he's not.
I'll double check here.
He just happens to be a guy whose early playoff line... I mean, Mike Trout's not got a pretty playoff line, but... It was struck me as interesting that this wasn't a playoff game, wasn't a playoff series, wasn't anything like that. It wasn't even June. But the guy at the top of the Cubs lineup, they're right. Doesn't he have to consider their big offseason acquisition? Isn't that how you have to look at it? And the way he started the season, you go, oh my God, this is it. And now in May, coming back and apparently healthy, Jock Peterson is, wow, he's getting into this rivalry. And Nolan Arenado, they were golden auto, remember? Goldschmidt, Arenado. This was going to be terrorizing to the Cubs pitching staff of soft tossers. And he goes 0-for-3 and makes two errors. And I just looked at what he'd done in the postseason. And Jock Peterson, and so it feels like a playoff game. I don't know that I expect Nolan Arenado to keep playing like this in Cubs-Cardinals games. But for one game anyways, Jock Peterson won that game and the Cubs won that game.
So I did confirm your stats there, Rosie. Yeah, he has an OBP of lower than his batting average in the postseason. And I think that has something to do with the fact that he has 23 plate appearances with 21 at bats. So there's some goofy math that goes on there. I'm not going to try to figure it out, but that would be my guess as to why that happened.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the numbers are what they are, but is there anything
I've just never seen
looks like a playoff force? Are there any of those numbers that look like a playoff force in there, Trash Panda?
No, it's pretty bad. It's below replacement level bad, like really,
yes.
really bad.
It
He's 4-for-21 in the postseason.
Yes, he is.
He has got a grand total of three RBI,
and he played
seven strikeouts.
Some of those games in Coors Field, remember?
Yes.
Okay. Just
so you
I'd
guys
bring that
are
up
trying
for
to
one
say
game.
That you'd, you guys would rather have David Bodie playing third than Nolan Arenado. That's what you guys are trying to say. That's your thesis.
I did not say
statement.
That. That's what Rosie was maybe getting
yeah,
at.
That's what's going on here.
I did not say that.
That's what's happening.
Yes. I want Aramis Bodie playing third base for me so I can have Chris Bryant play everywhere else. And by the way, the Cardinals bullpen sucks. I mean, they do have their 7, 8, 9 guys. Reyes, Gallegos, and Cabrera. They have their bullpen lined up. They have their three guys. The problem is they were using them all the time. So what the Cubs benefited by, that eighth inning was perfect. The Whitley, Webb, and Elledge disaster firm were guys who, I think this was according to stats or MLB, Webb has been joyously brutal, allowing a base runner in each of his last 11 outings, conceding an earned run in 5 of 7 outings in May, brings his season ERA to, are you sitting down, 12.41, and his whip, walks and hits, innings pitched, 2.35. That's ridiculous. So that's what the part of the Cardinals bullpen, when they can't use the guys they always want to use, that's who they use, and the Cubs did to them what the Cubs should do to them. And that has to bring joy to Cub fans. So that, hey, the Cardinals have our problems. Cardinals, look at that. They're going to be chasing bullpen arms the whole year. Isn't that great? That's a smile.
Yeah, and you've had a lot of are-you-sitting-down moments already today, Stephen. We've still got a little bit less than 2 hours of show to go. Do you suppose there's going to be more? Are you sitting down moments? Because I've been sitting most of this show, so I'm
just making sure, Mark. I haven't asked you to buckle up, and we're not asking you to mask up. I just want to make sure you're sitting down so that you can handle it. And we will handle our next guest. We will welcome Jim Margalis of Sox Machine in. They've certainly been in the news the last little while, dispatching their division rivals, and then they go up to sit at the adult table, and we saw a terrific game. Are you sitting down for all the strikeouts and no walks and no runs yesterday, Mark? Were you sitting down for that? Were you sitting on your couch, Mark?
For the most part, I was. And I'm sitting down right now. And it's the Sox and Yankees are underway. No score in the bottom of the first inning.
All right. We will see what this means to the Sox machine. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. Saturday Suckage. Thanks for joining us. We suck so you don't have to. It's our pleasure. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Life finds a way.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's a ground ball to third, and it's Urshela going to second, and that is a triple play for the Yankees to close out the top of the ninth inning.
Well, I look at what Andrew did. He made hard contact, and that made a triple play. You know, that ball side to side, it breaks the inning open, but that's baseball.
That's Tony La Russa. Hey, look, he defended his player for doing the right thing.
He was right about that.
Mark Grody was saying, Andrew, you've just made all the outs. It was Mark Grody tweeting, Andrew, how horrible, you've just made all the outs.
Yeah, I just kind of pictured Daryl Bossen putting his arm around him, looking him in the eye and said, kid, here's the deal. I just want you to understand what happened here. And he is wide-eyed. Like, he's kind of, Andrew Vaughn kind of has those surprise eyes always. All the time, yeah. Right? So it's like, hey, here's what happened. Just to you just made all the outs, and we don't want that to happen. Although, watching the Sox game, Andrew Vaughn just made an excellent catch in left field in the first inning. So he's totally redeeming himself. On this day,
he is far ahead on the Schwarber-o-meter of playing the outfield when he didn't expect it. So that's Mark Rohde, MC Rosenblum. Welcome and welcome back. You heard Jason Benetti calling the triple play in the top of the ninth. What you didn't hear was Jason Benetti on NBC Sports Chicago calling the Evan Marshall walk-off inning. But we have a guest to talk about that. Indeed, on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com, we welcome in from Sox Machine, Jim Margalis. Jim, thanks for joining us. We wanted to save the bottom of the ninth for you.
I appreciate it.
Because I think you're always a thoughtful guest. And you looked at the game, and amid all of the Tim Anderson BS detector going off and Tony La Russa embarrassing his team and endangering his players and all of that hoo-ha, there is the issue of Tony La Russa supposedly not being able to get outmanaged in the dugout, and yet share with the class what you saw last night about Tony La Russa getting outmanaged with pitching decisions in the dugout last night.
Well, it seemed like he used his maybe fifth best reliever to record or try to record six high leverage outs in the eighth and ninth inning of a one-run game when he had a fully rested bullpen coming off an off day, and Lucas Giolito going eight innings the game before. And yeah, it's, you know, the classic closer usage of, I would say, like 15 years ago, where he didn't use a closer on the road in a tie game because he wanted to save him for a save situation. And I think a lot of the game has advanced beyond that to where you have, you know, two inning closers. You have guys like Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman, especially in big games, stepping up and stretching out. You have guys like Josh Hader, who are singularly valuable for how they can handle multiple innings at a time. And yet Liam Hendricks was warm, but didn't come in because the game was tied and La Russa said he was saving him for a 10th inning that never arrived because Evan Marshall was still out there. And I mean, Marshall did the job in the eighth. He was a little bit lucky to do so because he got a screamer of a laser that ended up finding Yoan Makata, and a base running mistake turned into a double play. But, you know, you still got three outs from Evan Marshall, which is fine. And basically, I think you cash in the chips there. You don't ask for too much, and La Russa basically asked for too much.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, while I guess I was okay with Liam Hendricks not coming in, and my only reason is that Hendricks has been, and you don't stop bringing him in, but he has been a little bit wobbly this year where it hasn't been particularly clean, but I do think he'll get that back on. Are you worried at all about Liam Hendricks?
A little bit. Like, I've had a recurring segment on my Twitter account during games, like trying to figure out, like, it's this date, and I don't know if Liam Hendricks is any good. And that's a bit of an overstatement because he's like a fine reliever, you know, just a good guy to have in a bullpen. But, you know, when you're talking about $54 million, when you're talking about, like, the main addition of an entire, you know, kind of make-or-break winter, being the centerpiece of that off-season plan, that's, I think, where, you know, you need to find – I guess that becomes more of an important question. And I think the last outing where he gave up or didn't give up on the fastball necessarily, but he went to his slider more, went to it more aggressively and got some ugly swings and misses. I think that might be where he finds his groove because the fastball was his calling card with Oakland. And I think, you know, it's got a lot of spin and it's got, you know, he locates it up in the zone and it's been spectacularly successful, at least what it was over the last 1.5 years for Oakland. But I think, you know, maybe the game plan for hitters has adjusted a little bit and maybe they're just selling out on the fastball against everything else. And, you know, maybe that's why you're seeing all the non-swings and misses. You're seeing the foul balls. You're seeing the useful contact going to the outfield that he didn't have last year. So maybe he does need that slider and that curveball to mix things up a little bit, pitch backwards a little bit to mess up the scouting reports. And hopefully that last outing he had was a sign of things to come.
We're talking with Jim Margalis of SoxMachine.com. Does a terrific job, and with a level head that isn't always appreciated on talk radio. I'm sorry, Jim. You got to go rant and scream. And there's a fear now that the bullpen is what you feared about the starting rotation. The starting rotation is, especially Carlos Rodon, looking like an all-star. I mean, he should be on your Cy Young ballots. What would you do with Michael Kopech at this point, given the current state, when you see that Hoyer and Marshall are not Kotz and Polite? What would you do with Michael Kopech now, and how far into the future would you change, if at all?
I think that's probably the best thing going right now for Tony La Russa, is how he's handled Michael Kopech and keeping him stretched out when he can in the event of a short notice start or a doubleheader, and maybe one that's coming up. A doubleheader might be one reason to not completely devote him to high leverage work. But once the schedule loosens up a little bit and you have off days where you can improvise a little bit and keep guys rested without, you know, keeping them out of high leverage situations, you know, perhaps it's a case where they can start focusing more on one inning outings where it's key. Because I think, like, Cody Hoyer is where the bullpen is getting thrown off. Like, Liam Hendricks has had uglier innings than we thought, but he's been, you know, mostly fine. Aaron Bummer took a while to get going, but aside from his last time out, he's, you know, he had 8 strong outings in a row before that, so I think he's more or less back to where he used to be. But after that, or I guess in terms of a ball game before that, like the 7th inning before, Cody Hoyer not getting it together, his sinker getting pounded. That's something I didn't anticipate. I had big hopes for Hoyer this year, and I think the White Sox are similarly surprised. So that, I think, is where Kopech can maybe fit in. And I think that's what La Russa tried yesterday, was trying to have him go the 7th inning and then maybe the 8th inning as well. And that was a perfectly fine usage. He just got a fastball flipped out to a Yankee Stadium short porch that screwed everything up and threw the whole game off. But that's, you know, that's just bad luck and being in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I imagine that's going to be more of what it's going to look like over the next couple weeks, is Kopech being used more for single inning usage for the Cody Hoyer appearances, maybe knocking Hoyer down a level to where he's in, you know, more when they're trailing but the game's still close situations, to try to get him back on track. And then I think the other guy too is Garrett Crochet. You know, after he came back from the his brief stay on the injured list, stuff looked a little sharper. The velocity was up like a tick more. The sharper had a little bit more of a defined break. So I'm hoping that he can also step into that role, because he hasn't been hit hard this year. He's been, you know, giving up some soft contact and an occasional line drive, but he's been able to stay off the barrel. So I think if his stuff is sharper than it was in April, and he's loosened up and he's back to throwing like 99, even if he's not quite hitting 101, he's somebody who can also slot into that situation. But right now it seems like the usage with him in the situations are more conservative.
Back to Carlos Rodon, what do you make of what he's doing? Is he just matching his pedigree, finally having been a, you know, people forget, a 3rd overall draft pick years ago by Kenny Williams? Is this sustainable? Is this who he is now?
Yeah. It's basically like the last 6 years never happened. It's kind of like his NC State scouting report coming to life. And if you can forget that, you know, he was non-tendered and there was a very good reason to non-tender him, then he matches that NC State report with the high 90s fastball and the devastating slider. And I think that was the most impressive thing about his start against the Yankees, was the slider from the very first pitch. It was on, and he hadn't had that pitch basically all year, or it took three or four innings for it to arrive, and he used his changeup to get guys off his fastball before that. But that slider was basically as good as we've ever seen it. And I'm just as shocked as anybody else, because when he was re-signed, I thought, oh great, you know, just White Sox settling for the familiar. And when I saw the to-do list that Ethan Katz gave him in the offseason, it seemed like so much. Like, oh, you just have to use your legs more. You have to you quiet your mechanics. You have to figure out fastball command. You have all these things that he couldn't figure out over 6 years. He suddenly had on a list for one winter. And I don't know exactly how he got it done, but it seems like, you know, he's who I point to. And I think Carson Fulmer is also who I point to when just trying to say what Chris Sale did is really, really hard. You know, going from college to the pros with barely any time in the minors, brief stop in the bullpen, and basically having to figure out a routine and what works in live time against competition that's trying to embarrass him. And I think, you know, Rodon got by on the sheer strength of his fastball and slider, but really didn't know exactly how to refine it, how to use it, how to prepare in between starts, how to prepare in a winter. It just seemed like he was making it up as he went along, and the White Sox were more or less hoping his talent would win out, and it never quite did. So, you know, maybe this non-tendering combined with having a new pitching coach, just a new voice in there, and having a new pitching coach who also needed to prove himself and wanting to have a plan for everybody and not just, you know, coasting with his first job on you know, high octane arms. Maybe that's the combination he needed to just come up with a plan, a real real way to prepare himself for every, you know, dominating, well, maybe not dominating, but just succeeding every 5 days. And I think maybe even the level of domination he's found, yeah, maybe he's not sounding surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked if he were a little bit amazed by himself right now.
Our guest is Jim Margalis of SoxMachine.com. Terrific stuff he and Josh Nelson put out, and I would recommend their website. Go visit it. Go learn about the Sox. I have a question about Nick Madrigal. He must annoy opponents terribly with that two-strike approach and being able to get a bat out there and just deliver one annoying hit after another. He must annoy the White Sox with just some brutal defense and comparably brutal base running at times. Did the White Sox know what a fielding disaster he is? Or is it just me who's seeing this and in reacting in abhorrently over it?
No, and I don't think anybody saw him struggling the way he struggled with, like, the finer points of the game. And watching the game yesterday, you know, the Gordie Howe hat trick, a goal assist, a fight. We saw the Nick Madrigal hat trick, which was an impossible single, a base running mistake, and then an error where he rushed himself and kind of lost the entire clock of the play. And
actually,
you know,
it was a twofer.
Right. But watching him come up the, you know, watching him, you know, a little bit at Oregon State and then watching him more as he came up in the minors, it seemed like a lot of his success at those lower levels was built on just like out hustling, out grinding, out, you know, his hit tool just winning the day, basically. Like he just, his desire trumped all. And now you get to the major league level where everybody basically wants it as much as he does. You know, you don't basically stick in the majors unless you have the combination of talent and then just the drive to never lose your job. You know, the sheer hustle doesn't do it anymore. And so when you saw his mistakes in base running department last year, like that was a lot of it was just trying to take first to third on outfielder arms that could catch up to him, or, you know, I guess in the case of the line drive, like getting caught too far off and then not quite knowing like what his speed does anymore. And then defensively, I think, you know, during spring training he made some nice plays, some nice, you know, I call them finer point plays, where it's you have to angle your body to get a throw off, you have to do a quick pivot while keeping your hands in place to field the ball. Like he had that at Oregon State, and he had that even enough to play a shortstop. He got booted off shortstop but by a superior defender. He could have played it if they needed him to. And even in the minors, he had the ability to make plays on the other side of seconds, get rid of the ball very quickly. He had I thought Yolmer Sanchez had a faster exchange, but really nobody had faster hands than Yolmer Sanchez, at least, you know, in terms of White Sox second baseman. Madrigal came close. But it seems like in the majors, he's just had a really hard time setting his clock and knowing how much time he has after the first thing doesn't go right. And in the case of that play, the double error he made against the Yankees, like he dropped the line drive, but he collected fast enough to still have multiple outs to in front of him, whether it was flipping the second, getting the first, and then maybe catching the runner in between first and second. But he just panicked and thought like, oh, Brett Gardner, got to get rid of it, and just fired it wildly and ended up giving up, you know, basically the equivalent of three bases with a double error. And yeah, I'm surprised that it's lasted this long. I can imagine some rookie jitters, but, you know, given that he's now 50 games and two seasons into a career and he's had an off season to prepare in a full spring training where he knows the job is his, like I would expect it to slow down right now. And just for whatever reason, it has not.
I think, and correct me if you think I'm wrong here, Jim, I think the White Sox will let him keep playing through it, sort of like they did with Tim Anderson at shortstop, who has gotten much better at being a shortstop and a hitter for that matter in Tim's case. So I assume they're not going to, they wouldn't consider pulling the plug or, you know, redirecting him after this season or even during the season.
Yeah, I think this full season is going to be sticking with Madrigal through the growing pains, figure out what he has afterwards. I think after the season is where it gets a little bit interesting because this past winter, there are a number of good second basemen who could be had for one-year deals who just you didn't find a hot market for them. Colton Wong and Cesar Hernandez were among them who are good on-base guys who can play gold glove caliber defense, and they signed for 1 year and a negligible amount of money. So if it's a similar kind of market, Madrigal, you know, he hits 300 or close to it, but not a whole lot of extra base hits and is making these errors and his base running is not plus, it does present an interesting opportunity to improve a position for not a lot of money if the market's is what it was last year. So I'm hoping, and I think the White Sox are hoping too, that they just have to deal with it, you know, stick through a couple of tough months, because as we saw at that single that he had, he can do some things that nobody else can. And you just hope that at the end of the season, the things that he can do more than offsets what he can't do or what he's really struggling to do. It surprises me that he's this rough in the field, and I hope that, you know, I'm surprised for a reason. And, you know, we've seen it, you know, with a number of other White Sox players where you're surprised by how they look and they just never get out of it. But here's hoping, because you know, his hands are fine. It's just the clock, to me, that's the issue.
Jim, we appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us. Do quality work at SoxMachine.com. We always enjoy having you on. Thanks again for taking time out in this big, this apocalyptic series in the White Sox in New York. Thanks.
It's always a pleasure.
All right. This is Jim Margalef, SoxMachine.com. We'll take a break when we come back. We're one of the texters asked, because Mark had mentioned, Mark, you mentioned about unwritten rules in radio, like there are unwritten rules in every journal. Baseball,
right?
But then you also told the texter if we told them, we'd have to kill him, and he backed off quickly, right? Is that we told?
Whoa! That was not my text. I'm glad you brought that
up.
I would
me.
Never over text threaten murder. So that was Trash Panda. That was not me.
Oh, come on! I was joking.
Okay,
we would only threaten them.
In this case, there is an unwritten rule: is when you get audio like CC Sabathia ripping on the manager, we have to play it. So that's anytime there's a rant. Do we ever miss a chance to play the Lee Elia rant? Hell no. We even brought Les Grobstein on because he was there. So we're gonna play the CC's part of the CC Sabathia rant against Tony La Russa and what he did.
Great.
Also, we'll talk about the. We have another matter on the show. I want to bring up a possible conspiracy theory that involves Trash Panda and one of Mark's legendary segments that will bring to you at the top of the hour what Mark heard. So I think we need to discuss this. We need maybe some radiotherapy. We need to get this all out. We'll see if we can get some transparency in radio, too. Okay? All right. That's what's planned next on Saturday Suckage. Doesn't that sound like Saturday Suckage? Well, even if it
does. It does, especially since I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, that really sucks.
Yeah. There we go. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. Yes, it
is. Us sucking.
Yeah, us sucking. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It sucks, and it freebases.
This is what I was telling you when they hired him. Like, he's just so out of touch with the game, and most people are, cuz. Like, I sit here and watch Christopher Russo MLB Network. He's out of touch with the game, cuz. Like, Tony La Russa's out of touch with the game, cuz. He should not be managing one of the best teams in the American League, period. The fact that Tim Anderson, basically the captain of their team, had to go on Instagram and step up for his teammate. Like, yeah, the game wasn't over. If you're going to put a position player in there to pitch, guess what? If he's going to lie over the plate, we go tee off. Put a 10-run rule up there, cuz. If y'all don't want to see people get embarrassed and you don't want to see position players pitch and people swing on 3-0 counts and all that, then make it a 10-run rule so the game would be over and you don't have these stupid-ass unwritten rules.
And that was only half of what CC Sabathia said. Going off on Tony La Russa and getting mad at... I understand why La Russa was, all right, I got to punish this guy. He ignored the take sign. But we know those things generally get taken care of in-house. And when it wasn't, players, ex-players like CC Sabathia react on the R2C2 podcast. And that's what you heard. So I got a kick out of that, Mark, didn't you? When you first
yeah,
came across
and I,
that.
And I don't know if, like if CC Sabathia is like that, if he's like really goes in on people typically, but my first thought was, when did Tony hurt you, CC? Tell us. Show us on the little doll. Where did he hurt you? I'm just like wow. I'm trying to cross paths and see where along the way CC's got some venom for Tony, but or maybe it was just conceptually, like maybe he was just waiting for the unwritten rules of baseball to come up in something similar to this, because that seems to be his pet project right there. CC going in
right
on Tony Law.
I do think as an ex-player, what you look at is, wait, what happened to the unwritten rule about protecting your players? Right? Isn't that what a manager is supposed to do? And I think that as an ex-player, I think that was a big part of it. It may have been, I love that, show us on the little doll.
Where did he hurt you?
And I love that idea, but I do think that's part of La Russa's hypocrisy. And I think it's a big steaming pile of it when you have, when you don't put, respect for the game. Well, how about respect for your players? You didn't just disrespect your own player, you endangered him. You gave the code red for the Twins to throw at him, and they did. And so Duffy got 3 games, and Baldelli got 1, and Colonel Tony Jessup didn't get any, even though he ordered the code red. And it's just an awful thing. But I think that was a large part of his outrage. And I got to believe that CC Sabathia resents the, I don't know, did he ever play for Buck Showalter? I'm trying to think of who he played for that might be in this cloud of old school Red-asses.
Right. Yeah, you know what? That's a good question. We'd have to trace it, and you would think, because CC Sabathia, you know, played back then, that he would have been okay with that stuff. Like, he would have held on to those, but clearly not. And right, we'd have to do some tracing to see who did he play for in that brief stint with Milwaukee.
Cleveland,
obviously,
Milwaukee,
all those years with the Yankees, the Indians.
I don't know who they was. Mark Hart, was it Mike Hargrove with the Indians?
I think it was Hargrove. But wasn't he a little bit of a hard ass?
I don't know. That was a team with a lot of characters, including Mr. Freeze, Albert Bell, and Kenny Lofton, and and Jim Tomey, the nicest man in the world, and I don't remember, but I wonder if that was part of it. And there's some, I know there are managers, and Jim Riggleman's one of them, who said, I don't want my guys, I don't want any payback. I don't want any of my pitchers throwing at anybody, because I don't want, at the time, he said, I don't want Rhino and Gracie getting thrown at. They're the heart of my order. He just didn't want to start that. He wasn't going to allow that. I don't know. I've never really talked to a pitcher who said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get my guys hurt. While some pitchers we know have famously said, well, I'm protecting my guys, or going to go about it some way to exact revenge and be a clubhouse hero. So I don't know what – I'd never heard Sabathia on that. But I want to hear you on this.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we need to do is – we need to do like a Rosenblum and Grody investigation, like a special sidebar. Rosenblum and Grody investigate who hurt CC Sabathia, and we can go back to all of his managers, and we can narrow it down. And it was like that special they did on JonBenet, like who killed JonBenet Ramsey, where they had all the investigators sitting around a couple of years ago, and I think whoever did it got sued. But anyway.
We can narrow it down. We don't want to go there.
But that we can narrow it down and be like, based on our findings, we have decided that it was Mike Hargrove or whomever that hurt CC Sabathia, that called him to go on that filthy outrage on his podcast about Tony La Russa. Who hurt CC?
Can we investigate this, my theory of a show conspiracy, first before we investigate that?
I'd love to. I'm dying to hear this.
Okay. So for this last several weeks, and we've done the segment we're going to do at 1 o'clock, the near award-winning segment, What Mark Heard, in which Mark Grody hears stuff during the week and brings it to us. He shares it with the class, and we discuss these things that he's heard.
Uh-huh.
So there is usually so much goodness in what Mark Grody hears that it takes two segments. And what has happened is the second segment somehow gets hijacked because Toby calls. Toby calls during one of those segments, and then Trash Panda puts him up and, in fact, runs the... We're the show that has a walk-up intro for a caller, and that caller is Toby, and he's the only one who calls, and that's when it happens.
I will say, though...
Hold on, Hurricane Dicka. You'll have a chance to defend yourself. But there are often times where Toby has called and not gotten on the air, and then what happens is, Mark, he emails you, and then you call out Trash Panda on the air. So I think my conspiracy is this, is that Trash Panda calls Toby and said, hey, Mark's doing a segment. Why don't I put you on the air as a way of getting revenge on you ratting him out on Toby's emails?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely not what happens.
I would love to hook up the polygraph.
If that's what was happening, I would tell you. That's not what's happening. It's pure coincidence. If anything, Toby just wants to ruin the segment. And also, of course, he has his own walk-up music because no other show has a guest like Toby. He is unique. He is singular. So he gets his own walk-up music.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I don't know. I have not heard it disproven. Trash pandas are devious little things, right? And
it's true.
Yeah.
I actually saw a real life trash panda this week, guys, walking around on my street.
Were you back home?
No, this was in Chicago, on my street in Chicago.
And did you feel at home? Was there a kinship, a brotherhood of trash pandas, you and them?
Oh yeah, we smiled at each other.
Did you have to apologize for your dad shooting the brethren of the trash pandas standing in his house?
I think I killed more trash pandas in my life than my dad has.
Did you fire more bullets, though? I kind of imagine Shooter standing there inside the house, opening the window, and Alice going, oh, Lord, he's doing it again, and just emptying magazine after magazine after magazine and missing.
Hey, well, first, my dad's a good shot. He doesn't miss often, but...
Okay, well,
I don't know what I was trying to say
there. He seems flummoxed by my conspiracy theory, Mark. Does he sound at the least bit innocent to you?
No, because I'm still trying to figure out why sometimes that he doesn't take the Toby phone call.
And then I don't see
why
his name.
Just somehow, some magically, he takes them... Oh, so you're discriminating on the when the somebody call? How many calls are we missing back there? So if it's not Toby, if it's like Joe Schmo, you're like, you know what? Screw this. I'm not going to screen this call. Is that what's
going
on?
Well, it depends on the conversation you guys are having.
Okay.
Ah.
But we're having a conversation during What Mark Heard, our near award winning segment. You're not shy about just walking.
Well, because Toby is the one that emailed and complained about not getting on air. If more listeners complain about not getting on air, I'll let them on.
And then Mark outed you, and you were getting your revenge.
That's true. Now I'll give you
Toby.
Yeah. I'll give Trash Panda that. I will say this. I think Toby has intimidated Trash Panda a little bit. So now when he does call, it does it like he just like stops everything. We could be talking to the president and he'd be like, oh, we, I got I got to get Toby on.
Really?
He's gonna email Grody.
Well, wait.
I can't have that.
Trash Panda can't even get someone from the White Sands Pupfish on. And now all of a sudden we're going to have Joe Biden on? Is that how this works?
Because we can't figure out if that team exists or not.
Well, they have a schedule for this year.
They have a schedule. That's true. Doesn't, you know, I could make a schedule for a baseball team. It doesn't mean that the team's real.
Right. You could make a phone call to Toby and get him on during Mark's near award-winning segment, too.
I don't have Toby's number.
Well, he calls. You must know it's him.
Because it comes up on caller ID.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then you have his number.
I never write the number down.
Guilty.
How convenient. Well, I think the Rosenblum and Grody investigations is off to a wonderful start. I think we've got a great podcast going, and we'll be on TV. We'll be the Rizzoli and Isles of sports talk. Okay.
Cool.
All right, wasn't that with the two women on, was it USA? Rizzoli and Isles? Wasn't Jason Sehorn's wife? Wasn't Angie Harmon?
There's a pizza place down the street called Rosati's. Yeah, but
this is Rizzoli and Isles. It's on one of the many cable things. But all right, we're going to take a break now.
Okay.
And when we return, we will do our near award-winning segment, What Mark Heard. We will all learn what Mark heard this week. And we aren't we? Are we going to do that? It comes as a surprise to you, at least until Trash Panda sabotages it. So let's do that.
How's that sound? No, I've got some things lined up for us. I heard things.
You heard things. What Mark heard? We'll find out what Mark heard next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.